Now your ideas don't have to wait. Now they have everything they need to come to life. Dell Technologies and Intel are creating technology that loves ideas, loves expanding your business, evolving your passions. We push what technology can do so great ideas can happen right now. Find out how to bring your ideas to life at Dell.com/welcome to now.
Ladies and gentlemen,
The Rich Eisen Show. This is The Rich Eisen Show.
Ron Rivera today asked, why not Lamar?
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Just something that we just didn't feel suited what we wanted to do.
Look, I don't get it.
The Rich Eisen Show.
I don't get it.
Earlier on the show, Raiders wide receiver Jacoby Myers. Still to come, WWE superstar Cody Rhodes. From Netflix's Murder Mystery 2, actor Mark Strong. And now... it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number two of the Rich Eisen Show live here in Los Angeles, California. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial if you want to talk with us. The actor Mark Strong in Netflix's Murder Mystery 2 with Adam Sandler and Jennifer Aniston's making his way here to our studio. We just had a, for hour three, just had an hour one chat with Jacoby Myers, now of the Las Vegas Raiders. A great chat with him. And we're live here on the Roku channel, free on all Roku devices, select Samsung smart TVs, Amazon Fire TV. We're live on the Roku app because the Roku channel's in that app. The RokuChannel.com is another way to watch us live. We're on the Rich Eisen Show terrestrial radio network. We say good hour two to you, along with Sirius XM, Odyssey, and more. And the reason why I lay all that out there is just to say that the guy to my right isn't the only one with a big platform. And you know, I don't mean to go top rope like that, but I just feel like I need to just flex my muscles a little bit.
Yeah.
Because he's now staring at me to my right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Pleased to have back here on the program in Los Angeles for WrestleMania, which you can catch on Peacock, which is, by the way, available right here on Roku, is none other than Cody Rhodes, WWE superstar. Great to see you.
Thank you for having me. It's a return visit.
It is a return visit.
Very excited. And also, I'm blown away by, as you were looking forward,
yes,
telling us all the places where we can find your,
yes,
show, you were just doing it. There's nothing out there that you were reading off
there.
No teleprompter.
That is one of the most amazing. You laid it all out.
I mean, I do this every day. It's
yeah,
my
but
platform.
Still, that was just even the flight attendants read the thing. You can see them. You can see them on their phone. You know, like yeah, that you did it.
Well, Cody, I guess I should say if we do lose cabin pressure during this interview. but thank you. It's great to have you here. What is this appearance number three for you here? Because again, yeah, I know that you know WrestleMania has been you put a number after it. So this would be Cody Rhodes 3 on the Rich Eisen Show.
This is Cody Rhodes 3.
Cody Rhodes 3. Good to have you. And you're coming in. You're traveling heavy. You have your own crew here.
Yep.
What's the crew shooting this for? What do we got here?
Well, I have what I'd say kind of an adversarial relationship with this crew that's on the other side of your cameras.
Okay.
Peacock has been shooting a documentary on me that is what I kind of dubbed the documentary that has no ending. They just keep filming.
Is that right?
Keep shooting. And we don't... So the Royal Rumble would have been great. Hey, I won the Royal Rumble. I came back after I had torn my pec.
I saw that.
Punched the ticket to WrestleMania, the biggest WrestleMania of all time, in the main event. Finally. Perfect.
And scene.
That's it. That now right? They're still here. I know these guys well to the point where we don't like each other anymore. We're
at
that point in the relationship.
Oh, wow.
Loved each other. Now we're a little bit more like, there's Matt. Here we go, you know.
Yeah.
Hopefully by the end we'll like each other again. But yeah, the documentary with no ending. So maybe this can be it, though. Maybe
this could be it.
Rich Cody 3, call it.
Okay.
Call it.
This could be the big finish.
Yeah.
I don't know if Peacock would be in on that.
Well,
I don't know. I think that they would probably try and peg it more to something, let's say, happens Saturday or Sunday.
If they had it their way, Sunday, WrestleMania. Roman Reigns winning the WWE Undisputed Universal Championship.
That would be it.
That would be a beautiful ending. That would be a beautiful ending too.
Well, you say there's Raw though on Monday night though.
Yeah, at Crypto.
Right.
Formerly Staples Center.
Right. So maybe that's it. It just won't end.
Well, this is great. Of the year.
So we're streaming live on the Roku channel, but being recorded on Peacock for some future use. Where, by the way, we used to be on Peacock.
Oh yeah, there's all
so
kinds.
We're back.
Of, yeah,
remember
Synergy.
Me? And so, okay, that's hey, not, but that's not going to make it through editing. We know that.
That's
moment.
What you think. But then some
know.
Of this stuff, I've seen a couple cuts of these. Like, so my dad has a documentary that's on A&E next Sunday.
Okay.
And I was the EP on that. Mm-hmm. And they're just, some of this stuff on there is wild. There's
like, what did you see that you're like, really, we're going to air that? What do you got?
I mean, it's very, remember, this is wrestling from 70s and 80s.
Sure.
It's very bloody and just not so much like what you'll see with WrestleMania is sports entertainment's apex.
Yes.
Whereas a little bit further back, it's that being the difference between sports entertainment and pro wrestling, just the level of violence.
Really?
And
you were even taken aback by it?
Yeah, very much. And I think that's great though, because it's just they're showing you who he really was, mm-hmm. And what he really did. Very proud of that documentary. Excited to see it. That airs on A&E the Sunday after WrestleMania. So I'm happy for that because it's a part of his story that he had a last chapter that nobody knew about, mm-hmm. where he was training and coaching and doing all this stuff, including my opponent at WrestleMania. He was one of his interview coaches.
Yes.
And he did all this for this modern roster, and the world never got to see that. So now they'll be able to see that with a documentary, and that'll be nice to see.
Is there anything you learned about your dad that mm-hmm. you didn't know? Or pretty much you know it already?
You know, what I learned is that, have you ever seen the movie Big Fish?
I don't believe I have.
Okay, so here's the moral of Big Fish. Dad tells his son all these amazing tales on the way up, and the son assumes they're all tales.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's no truth to that.
Okay.
And then he finds out when the dad passes away at the memorial service, when he sees some of these characters, some of it was real, mm-hmm. if not all of it. What I found is that a lot of the tales that I was told,
yes,
when you hear it from his brother, Larry, who's like never seen often, and then when you hear Hulk Hogan talking about how he wanted to be Dusty Rhodes, which of course I just thought was something my dad was telling me, because Hulk Hogan was the most popular wrestler in the world.
Right.
When you hear it's one of those revelatory moments of it wasn't all a legend. You know, there's somewhere between the fact and the legend, and now at this point it's in the ether.
Okay. Yeah. Mandated ask, did Big Fish finish okay? I mean,
the movie Big Fish?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Okay, so we're
it's
all good.
It's a great, what a moral. That's a great movie.
Have you seen it, Chris? I've never seen it.
I have not seen this.
You guys haven't seen Big Fish?
No. When did it come out? Like 20 years ago, something like that?
Well, probably.
Well, you don't see anything that's older than 5 years ago, right?
I mean,
Chris? Well, I mean, like, where's your cutoff? Your cutoff is like anything.
80s movies.
See this guy.
Yeah.
It did actually come out 20 years
did
ago.
It, really?
It came out in 2003,
okay.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And okay. Tim Burton.
Years old.
Tim Burton directed it.
It's a Tim Burton classic. Yeah, so
I'll see it.
It's worth it.
He did Beetlejuice.
Yeah. I like
you know?
Those movies.
Okay.
Batman, I'm good.
Albert Finney's in it.
I like how you went to Beetlejuice first.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, we got to go old Tim Burton to try and get him to
well,
understand.
Everybody would have gone different, whereas you said Batman, I would have said Edward Scissorhands,
yes.
Right? Yeah.
The Nightmare Before Christmas?
Okay.
Got it.
Okay.
That's
well,
yeah.
You know what? The next documentary I'm going to see is whatever the hell they're shooting for Peacock right now.
Right here.
I'm not going to watch another documentary until this thing comes out, which is what, 2006? 2026 is what you're saying?
TBD.
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 Everybody. Okay. Cody Rhodes here on The Rich Eisen Show in advance of a huge 2-night premium live event called WrestleMania, by the way, going down at SoFi Stadium. Have you ever been in SoFi? Is this
no.
going to be your first? Dude, it is amazing.
Yes.
Oh. Wait, you've been everywhere. Like, what's one of your favorite venues that you'd pluck out right now?
Probably, and it's funny because WrestleMania is going there next year, but I believe this is still the name of the arena. These arenas change all the time.
That, right, yeah.
I think it's Wells Fargo Arena in Philadelphia.
Okay.
Which is right there by the sports complex.
You like that one, huh?
Oh, Philadelphia wrestling fans are a different breed.
Mm-hmm.
And
you got a Pennsylvania guy right to your right as the wrestling fan, right?
He's not lying.
So if they take you in,
yeah.
It becomes almost like a de facto, like a secondary hometown. And randomly on this, an older WWE show, Money in the Bank, when I was at the bottom of the undercard before I left and rattled all these cages, they took me in. And there was this Money in the Bank match where they just wanted me to win so bad. And this is an entire sold out Wells Fargo and had no reason to love me that night and did. So whenever I go there, I try to give them the utmost I can possibly give him, because that's just one of my favorites.
I love that. But outside of the fans, the people being there, I'm just talking about the facility itself. Have you ever
facility?
Yeah, like stepped in a ring and just looked around at any point and gone, well, holy crap, because that's what's going to happen when you hit SoFi on Saturday night or Sunday.
WrestleMania having these big stadiums, you know, SoFi.
Yeah. AT&T, in Dallas.
And then I'll say randomly one that I thought, well, this place is amazing, was, I want to say it's Reliant, where the Texans play in Houston.
It's a great spot. Yeah.
Yeah, that was a mood in there as well. I liked that. AT&T special.
I think you're dating yourself. I think, was that NRG now? Something like that?
Something.
Maybe NRG.
Yeah, where the Texans play.
Yeah, just as long as you don't say Enron.
Not that. I mean, that'll
be a long time ago. But again, I don't want to have you catch yourself unaware.
Yeah.
There is this Oculus, they call it, that's above you. It rings the entire stadium.
Wow.
That when you're going to just make sure Roman Reigns is nowhere near you when you do this, because you might have to just look up for a split second, and it's wild. There's no stadium and no setup quite like SoFi. It is awesome.
I plan on, I don't want to see it's Saturday before, we're Sunday, I plan on doing everything I can not to look out.
Okay.
Because I really want to feel it the first time I step out, and you got 80,000 people and the millions watching at home. I really just want to feel it there in that moment when I come up and see them for the first time.
And it's loud in there. I don't know what it is, because there's a canopy. It is outdoors, technically, and there's a canopy over it. It's like placing a lid on a boiling pot. It's one of the loudest places I've ever been to in my entire life.
So I'm going
to
steal that. Because that's, wrestlers always talk about the acoustics. Yeah. Oh, it's real cavernous, delayed. But you said placing a lid on a boiling
pot. It's what it is.
Yeah, I'm going to use that all the time.
Please take it, Cody Rhodes.
And also, Cody, he's right. When the crowd hits that whoa, when your song plays.
Oh, yeah.
I can't imagine what that sound is going to sound like Sunday night that part in your song hits.
Yeah, they take to this one part of the song. They sing it with me now. No clue when this started or how it started. Yeah,
probably maybe back in the indies, because I remember the first time I heard the song, I was like, this song is kind of hidden.
The WWE, the way they shoot it, and they all sing it, so people are really looking forward to this one moment where it says, whoa, and they all sing it together, and this is the biggest crowd I've been in front of for it, so hopefully it's pretty loud.
And what's it going to be like when you're in the ring with Roman Reigns? What's it going to be like for you, do you think?
I think probably one of the coolest things in wrestling and sports entertainment is what we call an old school intro.
Mm-hmm.
Where the Mike Rome or whomever is the officiating, you know, what Michael Buffer used to do, does the actual, your challenger from Marietta, Georgia, and then your champion for almost 900 something days. That is one of those moments that if that doesn't give you goosebumps as a performer, if you're not idling at a bazillion RPMs at that point, if you're not ready to go, then nothing's going to get you. That'll be the moment for me where I've got to not shrink under the lights. I hate using TCU as an example.
But it was in that stadium.
And it was my dogs, you know. So Roman has been to the main event. This is number 7.
Yes.
This is number 1 for me. So I can't be, I've got to be at his level. And I'll be watching him in that moment to see what he's thinking and what's going on behind those eyes. But look forward to it.
We got Cody Rhodes here on the Rich Eisen Show, WWE superstar. Cody Rhodes 3 here on the Rich Eisen Show, right? So Cody Rhodes 1 was when you were here to promote AEW.
Yeah.
And you were Mr. AEW. You were the guy that hitched your wagon and vice versa to each other to launch the competitor to WWE. And you were all about it.
Yes.
What happened?
And we even bonded over it, actually, because there was a whole, you know, bet on yourself when you decided to leave and all the things you did.
Yes.
So I knew this morning, I saw I was coming. I was like, oh, I'm going to have some explaining to do about all this.
We're just filling in a blank here. I mean, what happened?
What ultimately, I feel like, and Tony Khan and I have both spoke about this publicly, is it felt like the block had been filled. Right, the alternative company exists. They're doing great.
Mm-hmm.
Like, super proud of everything we built. Super proud of all my kids who are over there, who I recruited and hired. They've got a show that's airing, a reality show that's slightly spun off from what Brandy and I did, and we were able to help that option move forward. So it was just a matter of the block had been filled, and I said this the night after I came back at WrestleMania last year. sometimes you find your, you know, destiny on the roads you take to avoid it. And I took a lot of roads all around to mm-hmm. come back to the thing I wanted the most at 8 years old was the WWWF championship at the time.
Yes.
Which was the title my dad never held. I'd be the one in the family to ever get it. And that is the title now that Roman Reigns has under the name, the WWE Undisputed Universal Championship.
Mm-hmm.
And it just made all the sense in the world when I came back. No hard feelings. We left on great terms. And now here we are, Rich Cody 3. And
it really was wild when I heard about it. I think TJ, you were the one who came in and you told me, like, oh, yeah, Cody's going back to WWE. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, what?
I mean,
the internet. They talk a lot.
That crazy thing that lets everybody know about everything in real time called the internet, you know? And so we heard about it, and I was keen to know, like, why? Because you were, honestly, like, it became your identity, right? And your identity is what helped launch AEW. Yeah.
It did. And I think it separated me a little bit from being just a wrestler.
Mm-hmm.
When I really was a face forward with everything, and at the beginning, it was almost all me.
Mm-hmm.
I think Tony didn't want to really come out as much. He was just getting comfortable with the idea of it. Now he's out front. He's able to do it all. But at the beginning, it was all me. And I think it distanced me a little bit from just being just a wrestler, which is nice. I come back to WWE. I got no power. I got no stroke. Mm-hmm. Just I'm defined by my performance and my competition skills alone. And that's a nice feeling. I think the job I had at AEW, I might have been a little too young for. Definitely a little too immature for.
What do you mean?
Well, I was in charge, other than what Tony was the big boss, and then I was the underboss, I guess, or the number one on the Enterprise. And at that point, was still so much to do left actually in the ring.
Right.
I think maybe I wasn't ready for that. Still, though, great memories.
Sure.
Loved every second of it. Wild ride. Got two visits with you.
Yes, you did.
Two visits with you. We bonded over
still
it.
You still would have gotten the visits.
Thank you.
I'll be very honest with you, Cody.
But, you know. This is a fun week for one of the coolest things about WrestleMania, and I know you know this, but WrestleMania brings in the entire collective community of people who like anything that involves a ring. Mm-hmm. So what do you call it? Sports entertainment, or you call it pro wrestling? Or,
right.
It's the whole week, you know. I tell all, like, I've got the school in Georgia where we teach beginners camps for wrestling. I tell them all, find a way out here. You just help set up a ring for this show. Make runs for this crew. Do everything you can to be around it, because it's the most fun you can have. It is the Super Bowl of what we do, WrestleMania.
Mm-hmm.
And to be the one taking it home on Sunday night in terms of the final thing, the big game for the big one, just very blessed to be here.
So, if I'm not mistaken, Roman Reigns is Georgia Tech?
Yes.
Okay. And this building is where Georgia
them dogs
dominated to win the national championship. Is it going to be the same running up the score? Do you think on Sunday?
Well, I love the quote, run it up.
Okay.
Run it up. Yeah. And that's why I had no, as what you saw happen in the national title game.
I did. I was there.
I knew that was going to happen, and I knew they weren't going to relent, and they were going to make it clear how this went.
Uh-huh.
Here's what I can say about the Georgia Tech Roman element.
Yes, sir.
All that means to someone who grew up in Georgia is that Roman's very smart. Because all my friends
went to Tech,
went to Kennesaw University. Okay. Then they went to Georgia, or they might have just said screw it and went to Georgia State or Georgia Southern. Mm-hmm. Or a lot of them went the Ole Miss route.
Okay.
Very few said, you know what, I've got a 4.0 and I did this on my SATs. I'll be going to the MIT of the South. And the fact that he went to Georgia Tech,
yes,
but he's also this big, like, gnarling Samoan monster is a terrifying combination. Terrifying combination. And just obviously a great IQ on Roman.
Okay, so you can beat the brains out of him. See, I'm giving you all these lines,
this,
Cody.
Right? And it's going to sound, I already forgot. It's going to sound like a boiling pot.
No, you just put a lid on a boiling pot.
I'm going to beat the brains out of Roman Reigns, and in there it's going to be a lid on a boiling pot.
That's how loud it's going to be.
That's how loud.
Beat the brains out of him like Georgia beat up on TCU.
Poor TCU.
You know, it's it.
How did they beat Michigan?
Oh, God.
My wife, so me and my wife, we go to...
I am fully aware who your wife is and how she is
she
the brains of the operation. She
heartbroken.
She went to the... well, Harvard is the Michigan of the East in the
there
same way that you called Georgia Tech the MIT of the South, just so you understand,
understood.
Obviously. So I was there with my son at the Fiesta Bowl, just shaking my head like you were shaking. It was just one of those days. It's so really what it was.
We were in Mercedes-Benz watching Ohio State and Georgia. And
stroke of midnight.
And it was so before the game, they're running the score for TCU and Michigan.
Oh, all the
and I watched her slowly take her Michigan hat off and just kind of drape her head and just, I'll never know how it happens.
A lot of head draping.
Yeah.
Coast to coast. A lot of head draping.
Always next year.
There is. I appreciate that. What would have happened if it was Michigan, Georgia again? Like, what was
in your way better game?
I would think so. Well, the previous one wasn't a terrific game on New Year's Eve the year before either. But what's it like in your household, you and your wife, Georgia, Michigan? What would that have been like?
I think she can sit. Oh, that would have been rough. Because we decked the baby out in like a Michigan cheerleading outfit, and she was able to say "Go Blue."
Hey, how old is she now?
She's almost two. So she was dropping "Go Blue," and I was trying to get her to do like "Woo." Like a bark?
Yeah.
Nope.
Okay.
Nope. So she would have. It would have been two against one.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, when your daughter is more, I guess, dog aware, just show her Uggara, and that'll be the end of that.
I know.
What's your dog's name? Well, I mean, what's your daughter's name? What's your daughter's name?
Liberty.
Liberty.
Liberty, yeah.
Liberty Rhodes. Okay.
Liberty, yep.
Okay. So on this documentary that will never see the light of day.
No ending.
Okay. With no, is there footage of you changing a diaper? We got
I think we have diaper changing footage.
Why not?
We do have footage of her interrupting the interview by just saying Papa 1,000 times.
Okay.
And the first time I heard it, of course, instantly tears me up because this is in that period where she's first for the first time ever telling me things.
Yes.
And it's just the best. She's coming to WrestleMania.
Oh, really?
So we've got the headphones ready.
You gotta do that. Yeah. It's loud in there. Lid on a boiling pot. Don't forget.
Lid on a boiling pot. Yeah. About to beat the brains out of Roman Reigns.
Yeah, that's correct. Yes.
And she's coming, and we have a bail plan. If it doesn't, the music hits and she starts crying, we got Mimi, my mom, ready to just
exit strategy.
Exit stage left.
Okay.
I'd really just want to see her once and have her see this moment because you never know. Getting to the last match at WrestleMania, the main event of WrestleMania is like getting elected president in our business. It's
so cool.
It's very difficult.
That's great for you. And then just, you know, being a girl dad is the greatest thing.
Oh,
I have two older boys. My wife said, like, we need a girl. I'm like, really? She's like, you need to be a girl dad. She was right. 1,000%. She was right. And it just gets better and better and better. And to this point, I had my daughter's now 9. Okay, so like this is great. We're at a countertop having dinner together, just she and I. And I'm sitting there thinking to myself, why am I enjoying this so much, other than the obvious that I adore my daughter? And I realized halfway through the meal, it's because I'm loving it so much because it had been so long since I had a meal with a female who thought everything I said was terrific.
Oh, my gosh.
You know,
I couldn't lose.
I couldn't lose. Everything was just, tell me more. Oh, what a great story.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, this is the greatest thing ever. Because I don't recall the last time I ever had such an experience. You know?
When you were courting her mom, maybe?
I don't even know. I don't even know then. I don't know if I've ever had. So
now I have that to look forward to.
You do.
Yeah. No, I.
You do, sir.
That's big. I know Brandy's really trying hard to make it so that they're best friends.
Yes.
Only, right?
Yeah.
You know, she's kind of, you know, putting me on. Like,
oh, really?
I'm like retainer. You know, I'm out there, but I'm going to get in. I'm going to find my ways in. Yeah. I'm going to get in.
Okay. I believe in you. I believe
Thank
in you,
you,
Cody Rhodes. Everybody check out WrestleMania this weekend.
Let's
obviously
go.
Cody Rhodes versus Roman Reigns for the undisputed WWE Universal Championship match to wrap up WrestleMania that goes Hollywood because it is here in Los Angeles, California. It's streaming on Peacock, which is available right here on Roku. You're the man. Thanks for coming in here, man.
Thanks.
I know you're running around town and you woke up crack of dawn and whatever.
This is the only third time visit right
That's
here.
It's the charm.
It is.
So are you can take that mug even though you already have one.
Yeah, it's my varsity mug. That's a real thing.
What do you mean by varsity mug?
I got about 50 mugs in the cabinet. Uh-huh. I'm only going to grab the one that's up front.
Why don't you grab the one that's right there? It's all about branding, Cody. My God, do I have to teach you the business?
Basically, I've learned over three shows here.
There you go, Cody Rhodes, sipping from the Rich Eisen Show mug. You can get it at richeisenshop.com.
The champion. It's a champion sipping out the mug there, Rich.
Take that. It's yours to keep.
I will take
it. Yeah, put Liberty's oatmeal or whatever she's eating.
I can just drink coffee out of it, too.
You can do that. You got two hands.
Yeah.
You got two hands.
Maybe, Cody, in the morning, you have two belts over your shoulders sipping on coffee out the mug.
What a shot it would be, huh?
You know, send us the picture.
Oh.
Yeah, that's it. That's the goal, then. We leave there. We take the two title pick with our rich mug and then... The story is finished.
And scene.
There it is.
And scene.
Thank
That's
you.
The big crescendo. Everybody check out Cody Rhodes on Twitter, @CodyRhodes, and @AmericanNightmareCody on Instagram right here on The Rich Eisen Show. We're back with more in a moment.
Our house is a mess. Come on in. I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.
America starts the day with America in the Morning.
First of three pushes of storminess.
Hi, I'm John Trout, your host for the latest news, politics, entertainment, business, and weather.
A speech with political overtones.
Our staff of correspondents provide a fast-paced look at the world with specialized reports from where news happens.
The judge's decision was based on finding there is a
likelihood. So far, the central bank appears to be threading that.
Concise, accurate, and fresh each day.
America in the Morning, the podcast, available wherever you listen.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger, with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger is the right product for you. Call at Grainger.com or just stop by.
That was fun.
Wrestling fans would hate Del Tufo. I mean, fake.
Brock knew it right.
Oh, so for our radio audience, we just showed a video of WWE superstar Paige coming on this program. She was promoting a movie based on her life, right?
Fighting
that
with
The
my
Rock, I think, produced and starred in, right?
He was in it, yep.
Yeah, little cameo,
And so she said that her talent, one of her unique talents, was she was able to kick somebody in the nuts and not hurt
and not hurt them.
Him. And you guys volunteered.
I was like,
I'm doing it. And so what it was is her foot kind of like kicked you in your
behind,
where Mark Sanchez doesn't shine.
Plenty of padding on my behind. Okay, I was
very good.
With Mark Sanchez.
You know what? I got to be honest with you. Every single time we have a wrestler, particularly also in studio, or a professional, entertainer, sports entertainer. Isn't that how Cody
Rhodes
refers to it?
That's how Vince likes it,
They're just delightful.
Yeah.
And just they know how to sell and be very personable and talk, and you know, The Miz when he's been here.
These guys do that so much.
Who do we have on Seth Rollins at the Super Bowl?
Yeah. Oh yeah,
he was great.
Well, I mean, he was just about the Bears.
Diehard Bear fan, man.
He alternately loves and hates football depending on whether the Bears win. He hated football, I believe, 13 weeks in a row this past season.
I think he's going to like
a
football.
Lot of football. I think he's going to like
football.
He's
going to like it a lot more this year.
I think he's going to like it. By the way, can we call up that coach's photo one more time, if you don't mind, here, Mike Hoskins? Because I watched the segment back and was just...
Eberflus' pec game?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So how do you know what I'm talking about? Because it's the Bears thing and how I led into
it's
it?
We've been together a long time.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, there was. I was just looking.
Days?
Look at again in between Robert Saleh, who I will
love these,
Shane Steichen?
Steichen,
who is definitely
for this one?
Not Dak Shepard. I mean,
no.
The fact that he trended when he was hired by the Colts is that Dak Shepard trended. Come on, man.
We saw some pictures.
I missed that
there
day.
Were a few that
in between
like
the two of them. We're zooming in on it right now,
and
the
end. Look at those things.
Oh, yeah.
Eberflus.
Like, is he throwing up three? Is he throwing up three hundo? Like, what's he doing? Every day's chest day at Eberflus house?
And that's what Salah's like thinking. He had to think when he's showing up at this coach's photo that he is definitely the most fit guy that's going to be in this
Saleh
photograph.
Is diesel.
He had to know going in, like, Salah had to think.
Well, D'Amico Ryan's just got done playing, so he's still okay. in really good shape.
But he had to think he was definitely, whoever he was standing next to.
Sure.
Would by far be in the rearview mirror of fitness compared to him.
Yeah, yeah.
And not, and by that, I even say that it's an object closer than they appear.
Sure.
When I say rearview mirror. But Eberflus, I mean.
Like, look at that.
What? Like, I mean, is
a diesel.
Is he putting up 25 reps, do you think? Like, if he's in a weight room?
Like 225, 225?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he can bench 3 points, no doubt.
No wonder, no wonder, you know.
345s?
I think he was benching Mike McDaniel.
No wonder Stefanski's paying him on no mind. Like, he's got to feel the heat behind him.
You think he made him bounce like Terry Crews?
Yes. Yeah, right. He can definitely make him bounce.
I can make him bounce.
Benching Mike McDaniel is a great fantasy team name.
I miss when you guys showed that.
Or what? The latest Christopher Guest film based on the NFL?
Maybe.
Benching Mike McDaniel?
That's a great film.
How many times do you think Eberflus could bench Mike McDaniel?
Oh, I would say.
Twice.
What's
two,
the
three times?
What's the record at the combine?
Yeah,
like 58 or something?
He ain't benching.
Honestly,
it's a human being, so the weight's off.
I was disappointed.
Mike McDaniel weighs like 160.
I was kind of disappointed that because when we did it the other day, it was within 2 minutes of that photograph being taken and hitting.
We went
the,
right away.
You know,
it came out and then bam,
and I know that you know, Good Morning Football. Kyle Brandt did it the next day, and some people were responding on the thread like Rich Eisen did it. I mean, they were off the air by the time. So the first shot. They had a chance to do it. Right. We did it literally within 60 seconds of it hitting.
Well, we love
it. Thank goodness it hit the Twitterverse like 6 minutes before we were off the air. We had a nice bit of runway to
you know, big cats usually dissect all over this.
It's well, like, I mean, we love it too.
We all do it.
Yeah. Why do people love it? It's because
it's amazing.
Why is it?
Okay, I think
what is the allure?
I think a few reasons
of Andy this Reed. Coach's photo.
One, we want to see what they're wearing.
Okay. Well, hey, this just in: Reed's going to be wearing a Hawaiian shirt and showing off his legs,
and he's in the center.
Right.
Always center.
Is Belichick going to be there? Because he normally skips it.
Yep.
Also, just like, what kind of weird vibes are we going to get? Like Dayball with the crazy sunburn?
I don't know. That can't be inaccurate. That has to be.
No, that strikes me as I'm at the pool or I was golfing, forgot to put sunscreen on.
Look at that.
And your face is, your head's now red.
Yeah.
You now look like an apple. Like, I've had it happen to me. Sometimes you just forget. You also think maybe, oh, hey, it's cloudy out. I don't need to put sunscreen on. Yes, you do.
I love that. These photos are great.
Well, I mean, we're in the Ball Brotherhood. We're in the Ball Brotherhood. So you definitely know.
Always put the sunscreen on.
Uh-huh.
Even when you think you might not need it.
Right.
So there's just, we're just looking out for weird stuff. You know, who, like you said, who's giving shoulder? Like, who's looking like they're going out to the club in Vegas? Sean McVay. You know what I mean?
It looked like they had a long night the night before.
The location of where they are.
Yeah, where people are standing next to.
Now, let me ask this question. Do you think that they do place whoever gets front and center?
Super Bowl champion.
Do you think it is the Super Bowl champion?
No.
Because hold on a minute. Is it? Because Andy Reid, when he was... When did we win as Manspread Centerpiece, which was our championship fantasy team name?
Did they win that year?
It was, I don't know. I mean, when did we win is that? Because the reason why we called it that is because Andy Reid was front and center. And then
2019,
I don't know if he got a note or not, because in this photograph, his legs are much closer together than the year where he was just like, I'm sitting here and I am a Manspread Centerpiece. He's a little bit more tightly wound. But Belichick and him next to each other, they are the leaders in terms of all-time wins.
Yeah.
Active. But Belichick would be in the center if that's the way
also,
it was. And then
sure
John Harbaugh's won a ton of games. And look at Carroll. Exactly. Pete Carroll's right there.
Yeah.
And then you got the two. By the way, that's Sean on Sean shoulder violence right there. Where Peyton's like, I got shoulder on McVay, which I got to tell Sean. You got to be more aggressive when you're sitting down. But see, we're back at dissecting this photograph again.
Yeah,
we're down a wormhole because it's so, I don't know, I don't get.
And then Mike McCarthy on the end, just like, I'm here.
Pete Carroll got shoulder on both. So
right, of course, Pete's. Yeah. Because Pete knows Pete, how to do it. Pete only knows one speed, and it's Pete Carroll speed. So is that why we're all into it?
It's just really fascinating. These guys are, you know, big personalities. They're all kind of different and weird and quirky in their own unique way. And yeah. So we just kind of want to see it, how it plays out. And when are the chance? When are they all together?
Yeah, this is the only chance time we're going to get this chance.
This is it.
Also, I saw Nick Sirianni speaking yesterday. Why wasn't he in the photo?
I don't know. Where were they?
Yeah. What happened?
Where was Sirianni?
Great questions.
I went back and I'm looking at the man spread centerpiece picture. That's from 19. Chiefs didn't win. Reed is in the middle. So maybe the Super Bowl champ.
Yeah, he
coach
gets it.
Doesn't.
Well, I don't know. Well, I don't know how they figure it out. Yeah. One last look at it. Two things. Arthur Smith, he is on Friday's show. Cannot wait to ask him, what are you thinking as they say cheese? Because you look miserable. Yes. it could be. It was really bright out. He's one of the few that doesn't have sunglasses on. He's standing. But he's very tall, by the way.
He is very tall.
He'd be one of those guys taller than you think.
Absolutely.
Right? So,
because I would expect Dan Campbell to be tall. He played tight end in the NFL.
He's like almost on at the same height. Like if this was the usual suspects, they'd have the same height.
Yeah.
And so he just looks miserable. Like, what are you thinking there? And then the last one, again, just to bring it all full circle, I mean, Robert Saleh is known for all gas, no brakes, right? He's standing next to all Eberflus, no brakes.
Every day's chest day.
Every day is chest day in Chicago.
It's like, bam!
Man, and
first Campbell is still the whitest guy in that picture, though.
Who is?
Dan Campbell's still, like, the whitest guy
huge
in that picture.
Dan Campbell's enormous.
Yeah, he's big.
Did he take up two coaches' spots just standing there?
Maybe that's
why they're all
bounced.
So damn tight.
That's why, you know, Frank Wright didn't show up.
And that's why they stood him up, because they're not sitting him down in a chair.
No.
He'd be man spreading all over the place.
Oh, my God.
Day two.
Look at that.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I mean, I think he's as wide as both Belichick and Reed together.
Then again, Todd Bowles is looking a little swole right there, too.
Todd Bowles is looking like...
All right, guys, we're going back in here.
Todd Bowles literally looks like Danny Glover. Like, I'm too old for this. I'm doing this photo.
I'm too old for this.
All right. I can't believe we got another segment out of this. But I just watched that segment back the other day when we first seeing live TV stream on Roku, looking at this thing, and I thought, damn, how did I not notice Eberflus's pecs?
Well,
by the way, is that
Eberflus's
pecs?
Notice Eberflus's pecs. Rich, the thing is, most of these other shows, they got a whole night with the picture.
Yeah,
so they get a chance to sit there and write their stuff. And
we're first blush.
Yeah. You saw that picture 8 seconds before it popped up on the screen.
We're live local and late breaking.
You know, we're
traffic and
improving off the top of the dome.
And pictures.
All right.
Look at us.
844-204 Rich, number to dial here on the Rich Eisen Show. Mark Strong, the actor who is now in the Netflix streaming Murder Mystery 2. He'll be here in studio hour number 3. Chris Brockman, you've got a wrap up the NFL owners meeting news break.
Yes,
right?
A few things have been going on in the
week. All right, so that's coming up top of hour number 3 as well. 844-204 Rich, number to dial here. Great chat we just had with Cody Rhodes on the Rich Eisen Show. I'm looking up at ESPN. What's Nick Saban talking about? What is that new to SportsCenter? What's happening? It's not like, a pro day.
Can we get a light in there?
I don't know what it is.
He's wearing a black sweater.
But where is he?
In a dark room. I just see his head.
Did you see Saban getting mad at Jay Billis?
What's he talking
about?
Because he
used all of Billis' picks in his bracket, and his bracket got destroyed. She was like, somebody tell Jay Billis.
That's his
Billis chose Arizona. Billis's bracket was one of the first busted.
Yeah. And Saban was mad about it because he took all of Jay's advice. And
that's his office, Chris.
Mm. Oh, it is?
Can we get a light on?
Yeah, I think it's his office. I'm almost positive.
My God.
He works better in the
dark. That's as well lit as the office of the owner of the New York Knights, right? From The Natural. Remember that? The judge?
Rich, you know when you did your top 10 or 5 TV doctors?
A power ranking.
Power ranking, yes. I don't know why I thought about this a couple of days later.
Okay.
I think because we were talking about Rodney Dangerfield after work. You forgot about Dr. Vinny Boombots.
Dr. Vinny Boombots. I mean, we could have really gone.
I don't know why that popped into my head the other day.
I've used that term forever.
Look, when you talk about Lamar Jackson, you're treading into unknown waters. We do not know the numbers that they've exchanged back and forth. We just don't. We don't know the numbers. We don't know the conversation. We don't know what's going on behind the scenes in that facility. We just don't. We don't know. All we know is Ravens front and center. We love Lamar. And everything that Lamar has been saying lately is like, you're not showing me the love I need. and so they're not meeting any minds, clearly. It's now out there. It's now out there. He wants a trade. And so when you say, oh, this is the way I feel about it, you know, or I've been talking about it quite a bit here, and I do watch the segments back, not because I'm like Larry Sanders and all I do in my spare time is watch myself. I do watch back the show to see if, you know, if the content works or what needs to work, what doesn't work, how am I can still learn on how better to communicate, truly.
Yeah,
and, but sure. When I watch it back, I sometimes cringe. I'm like, I say these things and I don't know. I'm just telling you what I feel, and I'm basing it on reports. So I say that as the big preamble to what I'm about to say. I looked at Odell Beckham Jr. strolling around the owner's meeting and having meetings, and there's his agent with him, clearly setting up, you're talking to the Jets at this hour, you're going to talk to the Rams at this hour, we're assuming he's talking to the Giants and the Cowboys, and it's all set up, and there he is at the meeting of money and power for the most moneyed and powerful American sports league there is. And there he is, and it gives off the idea that he's got a market, and that's part of the PR battle. And I sat here and I thought to myself, what if Lamar had done that? What if Lamar Jackson had shown up at this owner's meeting? What if he had shown up and was shaking hands and walked straight up to Arthur Blank in a hallway and walked straight up to other, you know, it's a different thing that Odell is a free agent, but so technically is Lamar Jackson. He has not signed his franchise tender. He is also able to sign with another team via offer sheet. Is that fair? Or would other owners of the NFL kind of want to hold him at arm's length because technically he's part of the Ravens and they don't want it to be seen, you know, that he's on their radar screen for various business reasons? Or if you are trying to build around Desmond Ridder and build up his confidence, and there's the owner of the Atlanta Falcons hugging it out with Lamar Jackson on Twitter, that's a problem. So let's put that aside. Maybe it's unfair to sit here and say Lamar should be doing what Odell's doing. And also, he doesn't have a certified agent who is calling up all these teams. What he does have, a person who's apparently calling all these teams, is his business partner, who has created enough of a stir, whether Lamar's pushing back at the sense that he's negotiating on his behalf, but it's created enough of a stir with his phone calls that the NFL Management Council heard about it and had to put out a statement to say, anybody talking to this guy that signs Lamar Jackson to an offer sheet, your offer sheet may be rejected. You may be doing all this work for nothing. And the idea that Meek Mill reached out to Robert Kraft to say, hey, Lamar wants to play for you. And I sat to myself and I thought to myself, why, you know, other than the fact that I don't think is the best way to present your case to Bill Belichick. The best way to present your case to Bill Belichick is to call Bill Belichick.
Yeah.
Yourself.
But how do we know this hasn't happened?
I don't know. That's why I fronted it with that everything I'm saying is based on the knowledge of what I'm hearing, reporting, and because I don't know that it's happened. An agent might have leaked this sort of stuff out. Not an agent would have just called up Belichick or Kraft. But the reason why we didn't know about the trade demand is because there's nobody on Lamar's side to leak it. Lamar's the one who leaked it via Twitter. You know, can confirm that source. So I don't know. But to me, when you hear Meek Mill told me to tell Bill he wants to play, why isn't he calling him? If I want to book a guest on this program, we've got a tremendous booking crew. Mm-hmm. You know how much I love our booking crew.
You do, more than you
but
like
sometimes
us.
Nothing's better. Nah, nothing's better. You sound like my children saying, you love Taylor better.
Well, you know,
so my boy's saying that, but nothing beats me picking up the phone myself.
True that.
Sending an email, sending in a text myself. Is Lamar calling the people? Because if I'm him, I'm calling everybody.
Yep.
You can get these numbers. The numbers are acquirable. You can get Jerry Jones's cell phone number if you're Lamar Jackson. I think you can get somebody who can give you the phone number of Robert Kraft, Bill Belichick. And the sense I'm getting is that it's not working for him. Why else is he tweeting about if I was jaking it because of my contract after hurting my knee? If I was making my teammates hung out to dry over my contract, then why didn't I do it week one versus the Jets to week 12 versus the Broncos? How come all of a sudden I sit out because of money in which I could have gotten hurt any time within that time frame? Fact. These
I
mean, are true.
I read point. That and I went, that's a great point,
right,
man. Point.
There's no doubt about it. But why is he saying this? Because I don't think he's getting any offers. So instead of going to Twitter and using, I guess, the Twitterverse to place pressure where it needs to be placed for him to get the offer sheet, if I'm him, I'm cold calling every owner. I'm cold calling Jim Irsay. I'm calling around, not Ken. Again, my two cents. I really want to see him play football this fall, and I want him successful and paid and happy. We're all better off for it. But I don't know if he's... When I see Odell Beckham Jr. strolling around the owner's meeting, following up on the meetings he's already had, and creating the buzz, that's what Lamar needs in the worst way.
Can I ask you a question, though? Put Lamar in that position, and it's Lamar walking around. Right. Don't you think, like, a lot of your peers, maybe not you, would then take that and make it a negative, like, look, Lamar's so desperate, or Lamar?
No.
I think that a lot of guys would turn that into
know.
A negative. And you, well, and like if, I said, you don't do it, but guys in your shoes,
that's why I said
do that.
That for me, it could be viewed as he's desperate because he hasn't gotten any offers and he's walking around, you know, begging for a job. Like, I understand your point of view. That's why I have eventually landed on, is he making phone calls himself? Is he the one reaching out to Bob Kraft? And Bob's just not saying that personally. He's just dropping Meek Mill's name instead. That could totally be the case. Absolutely. We don't know what we don't know about everything with Lamar Jackson. If I was him, though, I would be calling everybody, myself. What do you need to know? I'm the source. What can I tell you? Because I'd like to play for you. Fill in the blank.